The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon to you. Thank you for that news flash. What is going on there?
Good afternoon, Howard. Well, what a way to kick off this week's news. A car has exploded after hitting a police van on Paris's Champs-Élysées, and police are treating it as a suspicious incident. They do say that it was a deliberate act. And police and investigators on the scene have said that the driver was armed. And, you know, this comes, I think, about 10 days after a policeman was injured just outside Notre Dame Cathedral, and that was treated as a terror attack as well.
Unreal. There is just not a day now that is going past without a form of a terror attack.
Absolutely. It is very, very frightening. I mean, part of our breaking news today is the story from Finsbury Mosque last night, where worshippers coming out at the end of the day, at the end of the Ramadan fast to do iftar, which is the breaking of the fast, were plowed into by what we know now is a 48-year-old male who, previous to the attack, had said that he wanted to go and kill all Muslims.
You know, really, I was thinking about it too. Before you, since the last time we've spoken to you, Hadass Malka was murdered in Israel on the outside of the old city, on the old city. Well, we've had the London mosque terror attack. We've just had another one in Paris. And in fact, there was another one that we reported a little bit earlier in Nigeria. That's four attacks since last we spoke on Thursday afternoon.
It's absolutely horrendous, and we do notice an uptick, and it really saddens me, during Ramadan, and I don't know why, but we've also seen a serious increase in these kind of attacks perpetrated by Islamic State kind of lone wolf terrorists. We know that Friday's attack, or Friday's murder, because let's call it what it was, of Hadass Malka, Zichrona Livracha, was committed by three terrorists. They were subsequently neutralized by Israeli police forces, and IS did claim responsibility for that, but we also had a fribble or an altercation between IS or Islamic State and Hamas, who each wanted to claim responsibility for the attack. Hamas, for a variety of reasons, I think one of which is to kind of send a message to Israel to say, if you cut our electricity at the behest of the Palestinian Authority, we are going to commit acts of terror. We will open the gates of hell. But this one was definitely the Islamic State. And you can be sure that they're going to try and continue this, especially in light of the fact that we've got two important visitors to our shores this week in the form of Jared Kushner and Jason Greenblatt, who's the special envoy to the Middle East from the Trump administration. So any attempts to broker any kind of peace is definitely there's a spanner thrown in the works by terror organizations.
Have we had a reaction in terms of the Palestinian Authority with regard to the Hadass Malka attack?
Well, Prime Minister Netanyahu has actually asked the Trump administration to condemn Mahmoud Abbas because he has not condemned the attack. And Prime Minister Netanyahu is saying, yet again, this is an example of a leadership who continue to incite the street, who continue to say one word to world leaders and the Western press and another to their constituency. And this is the kind of result that we see.
You know, it's interesting. One of our listeners, obviously, perhaps not having a good day, saying, why is a car explosion got to do with... No, we have to correct the grammar. But, okay. I think what they mean is, what has a car explosion got to do with Israel news? And the interesting thing, Rolene, is as we're speaking about all of these, you know, we always discuss earlier in the day what we're going to talk about, and you sent four different topics that we're going to chat about, and they're actually completely interlinked. You almost can't separate what is happening in Israel with terror that is happening in Paris or in London London or in Nigeria. It is the same beast with its tentacles everywhere. And I think if we try and separate it, we're actually falling into the trap of saying, well, Israel terrorism is completely different because maybe there's legitimacy there.
I think that's a fantastic point, and I'm glad that you raised it, because the reason why I do include international news in the Israel report is because it does affect Israel in some kind of way. If there's an election in France, it affects not just the Jewish community in France, but it affects Israel as well. The same with the United Kingdom, with all the excitement over the last election. And if there is, you know, terror is terror is terror. And it really troubles me when I see people saying, yes, but the world doesn't condemn a terror attack in Israel. And yes, it's hurtful to us as Israelis. And don't even get me started on the BBC.
Yeah, I want to come
back
to that.
Because I've had a rant about that. And we'll get into discussion.
Yeah, I want you to rant again about that.
But having understood the veracity, the seriousness, and the and how painful living in a country where terror attacks are a regular occurrence, our sense of empathy here in Israel is truly tremendous. We understand if your family is, God forbid, affected in some way by a terror attack, your lives are never ever the same.
And Rolene, I'm going to add to that, whether that person is Muslim or Christian or Jewish, when people are affected by terror, it is horrific, and we condemn it in the strongest possible terms.
As a good friend of mine, who's actually a colonel in the IDF, said during the wave of terror that we endured, I think, for now nearly 2 years, he said, terror is terror is terror is terror. It doesn't matter if it's in France, if it is in London, if it is in Nigeria, Pakistan, or in Israel. Mm-hmm. Terror is terror.
100%. All right. Coming back to Kushner and Greenblatt, they're heading to Israel. What's the purpose of their trip?
Well, I think they're going to start exploratory talks with both Netanyahu and Mahmoud Abbas. I think that President Trump has made it very, very clear that he really, really wants to broker some kind of peace deal in the Middle East. He's going to find that it's perhaps a little bit more difficult than the real estate deals he's brokering, although same sharks. He's very, very serious about this. He has tasked Jared Kushner with, among many, many things, I think, you know, curbing nuclear war, amongst them, and that is with brokering some kind of agreement in the Middle East. So we're not expecting any great announcements or any great strides in this. I think these are largely exploratory talks, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see what comes out of them. And also, there will be times when we'll see one or the other or both coming to the region to look at the scenario on the ground and discuss happenings.
Yep, and we're going to follow that story very, very closely. Has there been any further development with the London mosque terror attacks?
Well, what we do know, and we do have conflicting reports, we know that at least 10 were seriously injured. Some papers say, or some sources say, one was killed. Some say two were killed. They do have the suspect in custody. He has said that he wanted to kill as many Muslims as possible. And we also know that worshippers who came out of the mosque tried to wrestle the perpetrator or the terrorist to the ground and handed him over to the police, and some people were angry. They said, why did you have to do that? You should have taken him out. But they said, no, he should be arrested and being taken for questioning. So, and this has been condemned by both Theresa May, who is the sitting Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Some of us hope she remains the sitting Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, and Jeremy Corbyn, who is absolutely distraught over this terror attack.
What's so difficult here is that there's clearly a sense that things in the United Kingdom are spiraling out of control.
Absolutely spiraling out of control. Yesterday there was a march. It was Al-Quds Day in London. Permission was given to marchers to walk with the flag of Hezbollah. And while we are saying terror is terror is terror is terror, Hezbollah is the Islamic State, is Hamas,
but
is
how
Boko
do they
Haram,
allow it?
Is Al-Qaeda.
That means that the UK authorities are not getting it.
They're absolutely not getting it.
And what happens, what's so sad here, I'm sorry, Roland, just to interrupt with my rant, is what happens here is it's everyday people that are suffering. Whether it's Jews or average Londoners or Christians or Muslims, if they don't take control of extremism and stop people from applauding Hezbollah, which is a terrorist organization, then how are they ever going to stop what's happening? I don't get it.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't think that they actually understand the severity of these organizations and what we are dealing with. But kol hakavod to the London Jewish community who came out in absolute numbers yesterday with their flags, with the indomitable Kay Wilson who spoke, with members
wonderful.
Of the Christian and members of the Muslim community who said Hezbollah is not welcome in the streets of London, and they actually managed to stop the march.
Absolutely incredible. Can we now go back, staying in London, but talking about, or staying in the UK, talking about the BBC, their headline, which was, I would say, embarrassing in terms of the terrorist attack in Israel.
We can do that, but I have to pull out my soapbox for this.
Go for it. But just don't stand on it with high heels. You could fall off.
How would I? I'm an expert at balancing in 10-foot or 10-inch stilettos over here. Okay, so when the terror attack happened on Friday, the BBC issued a pithy and hideous headline that said three Palestinians killed in attack in Jerusalem.
I mean, if it wasn't so serious, it would be funny to say that.
Exactly.
It's like a joke.
Exactly.
Headline.
Mm. Now, they have been excoriated by both Prime Minister Netanyahu, who took them to task, as well as the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And the reason I get on my soapbox is this. We're sick and tired of these stupid, misleading, inaccurate, and hideous headlines. They do it time and time and time again, and it is becoming to be a very sad and exhausting cycle. It seems that every time there is a terror attack in Israel, somebody, whether it's Honest Reporting, and I know you'll speak to Simon tomorrow, or the Prime Minister, or Joe Public, or whoever, has to get hold of the BBC and say, yet again, you are misleading the public. You are not reporting the facts on the ground as they happen. Now, you would think that having had this happen to them 100 times already, the BBC would be cognizant of this and say, you know what, before we get irate phone calls and emails from the Prime Minister of Israel and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and various other people, let's perhaps check to see if our facts are correct. Now, I'm tasking all our listeners, because I know that they are amazing media consumers. When the news brings you these inaccurate and misleading headlines, please get onto them. Tactfully, of course.
But the easiest way to do it.
That they have a duty to report the truth.
Now, the easiest way to do it is if you follow somebody like a BBC on Twitter, the easiest thing to do is just reply to that tweet. Because then that's a very, very, I mean, that goes straight back to them. They get that immediately. It's really, you no longer need to find the address of the editor. You just respond to the tweet, and that's how you deal with it. But I do caution people that you need to make sure that what you're writing back is rational, it contextualizes, and doesn't do more harm than good.
Absolutely. And you know what, while we're on the subject of Honest Reporting, and I know that you speak to them every Tuesday, and Simon is phenomenal, they have fact sheets and they have information about how you can respond responsibly. And really, we're calling on everyone to be keyboard warriors, because it's enough now.
It really is. It is absolutely just absurd. Really, really crazy. The other thing that I'm a bit confused about, and I've been following the story, but I don't get it 100%, is this whole binary option story in Israel. I know that Knesset has now passed a law banning binary options. What is this?
Okay, so from what I understand, and I'm not so good with the numbers, good with the shoes, good with the news, not so good with the numbers, these binary options companies, first of all, they employ thousands of Olim. And it's very seductive for Olim to work for them because they earn very, very good money and they can work in their native tongue. But how they work is they – and I'm not getting it exactly because I quite frankly don't understand it exactly, but it's like trading on the stock market, except people lose phenomenal amounts of money. Mm-hmm. And over the years, people have lost everything, and it's even resulted in several suicides by people who have lost their life savings and sometimes their homes. Now, it is so bad that a group of international lawyers from France, from England, from the United States have become involved in the investigations, and several Chaver Knesset have petitioned the government to shut them down and ban them outright, which mm-hmm. they have. And they have arrested the owners of these companies because it's fraudulent and it is theft. And I know that for many of us, we're very concerned for those Olim who have come here and who think, well, great, I now have a job, it's stable, I can earn great money, I can talk to people in my native tongue. But it's really for many of us, it's blood money, given that the results are as far-reaching as a suicide for some.
Absolutely, absolutely amazing that Knesset has taken this action, and hopefully it'll save people losing what they've already lost. Unsigned SMS WhatsApp saying DW is much more interesting than BBC or CNN, and I'm assuming DW stands for Deutsche Welle. I would imagine that's what they're saying. It's a German website. Let us know if that's what you're referring to.
Awesome.
Nikki's saying, sadly, one can't berate Al Jazeera, who headlined the other day, Israel has launched three wars against Gaza. Israel should close down their offices in Tel Aviv. That's according to Nikki. And, of course, we did have that conversation last week. Has there been any developments in this regard?
Just that our defense minister, Lieberman, has said that, as far as he's concerned, Al Jazeera should be given their marching papers. Yeah. And his rationale is this, mm-hmm. For us as journalists, it's an issue of free speech, and you can correct us, we can have these back and forths, etc., etc. But when it comes to Al Jazeera, our defense minister, Victor Lieberman, who actually is extremely rational, mm-hmm. but and I know many people say, no, he's a hawk, he's this, he's that, he's actually probably one of the most rational people you will ever meet. He has said, they've passed the line where it becomes about the freedom of speech and it becomes a national security issue, because some of the stuff that they are broadcasting is actually could take you back to Germany in the 1930s and 40s. Mm.
Very, very interesting indeed. We've really run out of time. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Fascinating and engaging and easy as you climb off that soapbox of yours.
Taking it easy so that I'm here the same time, same place tomorrow.
Awesome. We look forward to that already. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency.